Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 19, verses 16 to 30. It's on the worship guide, or you can find it on the Pew Bible on page 905. So John 19, 16 to 30, as we come studying the series on John, choosing spots from the gospel. Now we come towards the end, where we see the Lord on the cross, the death of Christ, and next week we'll focus on chapter 20, the resurrection of Jesus. In the last portion of John, from chapter 13 until here, are the last 24 hours of our Lord spent in the upper room, teaching his disciples about the Holy Spirit to come, but also teaching them in parable, in action, washing their feet to make them humble, and telling them what he came to do. And now, here it is before their eyes, what exactly he came to do. So John chapter 19, starting from verse 16. So Pilate delivered Jesus over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not try the King of the Jews, but rather, this man said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic, but the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scriptures, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the word of the Lord. If you're suffering from any kind of illness, depression, job loss, or the death of your loved one, or perhaps you have been treated badly by your friends in school or by family members, or any sort of injustice at work or in any place, come. Come and bring your sadness to this text. Sadness of any kind, disease of any kind, difficulties, injustice of treatments of any kind. And most importantly, add to any of the list which reminds you while you're suffering, bring in your sins of any kind, or your sin of any kind. And pay attention and observe. An extraordinary murder has taken place in Jerusalem, in the city devoted to God's law, in the city of the Hebrews, in the city of the prophets, in the city thought of as just. And who was murdered? And who was the murderer? The one who has been murdered is lifted upon a tree, and an inscription is affixed, identifying him. Who was he? Hear and tremble because of him for whom the earth trembled. The one who hanged the earth in space is himself hanged. The one who fixed the heavens and everything in place is himself firmly fixed to the tree. The Lord is insulted. God is being murdered. The King of Israel is being destroyed by the right hand of Israel. Oh, frightful murder. Oh, unheard of injustice. The Lord is disfigured, and he is not deemed worthy of a garment of any kind of cloth for his naked body, so that he might not be seen exposed in shame as Adam was after the fall. For even that garment that was given to him by a mocking king, Herod, was taken away for a game played by mocking pagan soldiers of the Roman Empire, fulfilling not their desires, but the very prophetic word of God, "They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." The body of the Lord was exposed naked, but the stars turned and fled, and the day grew dark, quite dark, in order to hide the naked person hanging on the tree, darkening not the body of the Lord, but the eyes of sinful men. Yes, the people did not tremble. The earth trembled. The people were not afraid. The hosts of heaven grew frightened. The people did not tear their garments. The angel tore theirs, even the temple, and the curtain was torn. The people did not lament. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. He who was murdered said, "It is finished." It is finished. What does this say to you? With all what you bring in to this drama that we are looking at, what does this ring to your ear, speaks to your heart? This saying was heard differently by different audience who reacted differently when they heard it. This truthful word, "It is finished," reached, number one, the mocking defeated enemies with false victory. Number two, Mary, the mother of our Lord, with comfort. Number three, a disciple with prophecy, beholding the glory of the Son of God and the power of saving faith. And number four, last but not least, back to the Father, bringing him all the glory. So number one, to the mocking enemies, the murderers, Jewish clergymen and their followers, "It is finished," they heard. Finished? Yes. To the murderer Jews, this saying meant, "He is finished. He is dying, so he is finished. His story and teachings and miracles and signs he did are to become invalid because they are now finished with him." The Savior of the world cannot even save himself, they mocked him. He is right. It is finished. He's done. We are in control again. He was wrong. It's the evidence. He's hanged on the cursed tree of the cross, naked, shameful. And he claimed himself to be the Son of God and to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. He is finished. Yet again, who was he who said it is finished? Pilate wrote, the King of the Jews. And the high priests were offended. No, 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 do not say the King of the Jews. But rather, he said, I am King of the Jews. They wanted to mock him even more. And Pilate responded, I think led by God's Spirit, what I have written, I have written. You chose Caesar to be your king. You chose politics to take side and said, and you accused me, if I do not crucify him, I'm not a lover of my own Son of God, of my own king, Caesar. I want to let Caesar know that I have crucified the King of the Jews, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, it is finished. Who was he? Surely not what they thought he was. To the earth and his hosts, he was simply dying. But to heaven, he was exhausting all of men's wickedness produced by the serpent. He was reuniting everything in heavens and on earth in his going to death. And evil did its best until it was exhausted, not by the very best and strength of the Son of God, but by his worst and weakest moment, even in his death. Oh, the wisdom of God. Oh, the foolishness of man. For the foolishness of God is wiser than the whole world. Even the very weakness of God is stronger than the universe. It is finished, he said. To his enemies, he is finished. But to his beloved mother, too, it is finished. This saying was to her the most comforting moment that spoke to her heart and faith louder than her overwhelming pain. She looked with her eyes filled with tears to see her son, her dying son, in a miserable and disfigured, bloody condition, speaking to her before he said, it is finished. Words of care found in his comforting words before this last word. Women, behold your son. That sweet magic word, women, took Mary, I believe, back to the wedding in Cana, as we mentioned it. I am sure he made her remember the first time he said to her, women, at the wedding, women, what have you and I, or do you know what have you and I to do with this? They are empty from wine and ashamed. My hour has not come yet. That's what he said. This was the second and last time Mary is hearing women, not out of disrespect to her, for she is his mother. She raised him. She fed him. She grew this body that the Lord gave her and entrusted her to. But she heard the word woman that she taught her boy when he was a child. She heard the promise, as you heard in Genesis 3:15, that curse which itself became the blessing for us. That curse which took the Apostle Paul to search and wonder, how can this be the Son of God who was hanged on the cursed tree of the cross? How can this cursed man who became cursed, in a sense, for Paul, can be a blessing? Paul Only when you go to Genesis, you see how this curse itself and the enmity, so we would not be united with Satan and eat from the tree of life and become demons forever. That casting us out of the garden, that curse itself was turned into blessing. Woman! He did not say here, my hour has not come yet, for this is the hour he mentioned in John chapter 2. It was as if he's saying to her, mother, you've prepared me for this very moment, for this very hour. Remember? You've raised me in the flesh for this very moment. That's the hour of victory, Mary. And the ultimate defeat of the serpent. Yes, indeed, the serpent is bruising my heel. In order for him or for his head to be bruised and crushed forever. And then later on, Mary heard the word, it is finished. The serpent and her offspring heard that he is finished. But Mary heard, woman, I am the promised offspring who is now putting an end and defeating the enemy. That's what you're looking at, Mary. Woman, behold your son. He cared for his beloved mother also. Even in his barely breathing moment when he was asphyxiated. And you might think how. You would hear the words about John, which takes us to number 3, to his disciple John. Behold your mother. John, as if Jesus telling him, take her to your place. And the text tells us he took her to her place, to his place. And she lived with him. As if Jesus is saying, behold your mother, John, take her to your place and treat her as I have been treating her. For this woman is my beloved mother. And out of her womb came the promised seed you're looking at to bring salvation for the world. He's preparing John for what is to come of injustice when he will be exiled in the island of Patmos. He's preparing John, the young John, by identifying him with himself as a family member, not just a disciple, even more. My mother is your mother. Get ready, John. So when he goes to the island of Patmos, mistreated and seeing all the injustice of the world, there he will go back in his mind to the cross, and there he will receive the best of God's revelation. A series of visions in one single revelation about Jesus Christ. Have you been mistreated with injustice as John was in Patmos? Or at work, or among friends in school, or among family members? Hear those words John heard. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, completed, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. This was the moment. Then he said, it is finished. He said, I thirst. This word, he said it expecting to be given a sip of water from our own perspective. Yes, he was thirsty indeed. He was not definitely not lying. But no, not that he is thirsty only, but beyond this, that in his thirst he was obedient to God. And knowing that what he was to get, he passionately thought of the fulfillment of scripture prophecy from Psalm 69 when he said, I thirst. His passion, desire, even while being asphyxiated, thinking of the Heavenly Father and the Scriptures prophecy to be fulfilled to the letter. I thirst. For my thirst, they gave me sour wine to drink. Do you see what John wants us to see in order to behold with him the glory of the Son of God? As he said in his very first chapter, do you see what I see in this painful drama? Let me share. He who transformed wine out of 6 jars of water at the wedding in Cana is now receiving sour wine from a jar thrown on the ground in that desolate place where he was crucified. He who gave the master of the feast in Cana the best wine by a fancy cup is now receiving the sour wine from a hyssop branch held to his bloody mouth. He who said to the Samaritan woman, the water I give will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life, is himself thirsty? Pay attention. They did not know that he must thirst to give a spring of water welling up to eternal life, that he must get dehydrated to death in order to hydrate the whole world, that he must be asphyxiated to give the breath of life to our nostrils, redeeming us and making us new creation. The starter of faith has finished the full, complete work of faith. The author of faith completed and perfected faith in those very simple words, it is finished. Not a faith you can naturally produce. True faith is not something you possess. When your whole trust, meaning your whole being, your whole worldview, is caught up and circling around the object of faith, Jesus Christ, faith is given to do its best in you. It's irresistible. When every sense of your feelings, emotions, and thoughts, and mind, and intellect are listening carefully and looking carefully by faith, trusting that what he did was for me, then faith does its work in you. Faith alone does not save. Faith in Christ alone makes you Christian. Do you see those teachings, word of our Lord, coming alive here? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. In John 12:24. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. But what about, number three, his heavenly Father? What was the word of God that came out of him should come back to him, not empty? What was God's word in the flesh on the cross telling him back? It is finished. It is completed. Was that affirmation to the Heavenly Father in his high priestly prayer? Do you remember? Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished, finished the work that you have given to me. Yet between his high priestly prayer and this moment at the cross, it is finished, it is completed. He asked for the cup to pass by. Yes, but he ended his prayer asking not for his own will and desire for the cup to pass by, but that of the Father's. And he asked for it passionately. The cup the Father gave me, shall I not drink, Peter? When Peter defended the Son of God and cut the ear of the guard, he was passionately awaiting to drink that horrible cup. Yes, he was the Son of God, but the letter to the Hebrews tells us in chapter 5 that in his human nature, he had to learn obedience through suffering. Not for his own sake, but for ours. The work you have given me, Father, is now completed, the Lord prayed. That's what the Father heard. It is finished. Pay attention and observe. He learned obedience to death through his suffering to create in you obedience to life through your own suffering. What is the result of obeying this dying Lord but life out of death? For Paul learned this when he meditated on Genesis 3 and he looked at the cross and he came back and felt himself associated with this Christ. He even said something about his kinsmen in Romans 9. He said, I desire if I am cut out, so my kinsmen would be grafted in. No, Paul was not exaggerating, as probably you heard before or you thought of. Paul was sincere because by thinking this way, he knows that the one who was cut out for us to be brought in was his Lord. That's how Jesus thought. And Paul said, I'm to think like Jesus. I'm to sacrifice everything in me for the sake of this invaluable kingdom. And when he spoke about the obedience of the Son of God in Philippians, he said, for that very reason, that he obeyed even to death, death on the cross, in his humanity, for that very reason, God exalted him and gave him a name above all names, so that in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I have glorified you on earth. Glorify me with that glory. Everything he said or taught, the signs, the miracles he did, no, they are not dying, but became valid and alive because they were sealed by his resurrection. He finished it all to the end. He exhausted all evil to the end. All of your sins, all of your diseases, all of your fear are dried up with the drying well of life, the Son of God. No need to add anything on your part for your salvation. No need to add anything to build his church or to do some programs. No guilt anymore for the sins you repent from, but simply to include yourself in this perfectly finished, completed work. For this completed, finished work puts back to right everything the Heavenly Father made, and definitely beginning with the restoration of God's image in you and through you. Friends, hear the good news in this passage. Death is dead. Death is swallowed up in victory. So come to him, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and you will find rest. Take his yoke upon you, for it is easy. His teachings are not burdensome, as the devil whispers to our ears. But they are easy. And then go. Go by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by your might, nor by your strength, nor by programs you think of, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Go and tell people to follow this perfect Lord. To make disciples is to help people to follow this Lord. For he is the one who destroyed death freely, you can tell any religion, any person in the world. Triumphed over the enemy, trampled Hades under his feet, held evil captive, and bound the strong one. The one, indeed, the one who hanged the earth in space was himself hanged. The one who fixed the heavens and everything in place was himself fixed to the tree. But the earth trembled. The hosts of heaven grew frightened. The angels tore their garments and tore the curtain of the temple. Heaven wept. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. Therefore, bring your pain, injustice. Or if you are still being treated this way, your sadness, depression, your anxiety for your life, for your children's future, and all collected together and pay attention and hear those authoritative words with your ears. Listen to their divine power with your heart. Let them go through your veins and joint and marrows, discerning the thoughts and intentions of your deeply seated character. Listen carefully to those words of Jesus Christ. It is finished. One last thing. Yes, bring the sin you're struggling with. Associate yourself as John with Christ. And let these words come out of you, not out of your own faith, but out of the object of your faith. Let Jesus' words come to you and spring out of you as you face the sin that is holding you captive. Your desire, and tell it, I am dead. I am dead. And I am to live the rest of my life for him who said on my behalf, it is finished. It is finished. It is finished. Father in heaven, we thank you for the words of your Son Jesus that were heard by the enemies, mocking our Lord and King, even the Jews, thinking that he was finished. Oh, the wisdom to fulfill all the scriptures. He spoke to his beloved mother, comforting her in her tears as she's weeping. Women, yes, you're seeing me destroyed, but what you're seeing is the end of evil. You're seeing victory, Mary. He spoke to John. This is your mother. Take care of her, John. You're young. She will raise you and help you even more for the future. And be prepared for the moments of injustice in Patmos to receive those revelations, those series of one revelation. And as he said to you, Father, all that you have given him to do, all that we have failed to do, all that Adam failed to do, and Israel, and the prophets, and everyone else, he succeeded. By these words, you were so pleased to hear. Your plan is now come to perfection and completion. Our faith is now perfected by these words. And by his resurrection, the enemy is held captive. We are set free. So, Father, catch our attention to these very comforting words to Mary, that victory took place, to the fulfillment of your scripture, to the trusting moments that he must say, I thirst, and to be given the sour wine, he who gave the best wine, and to hear those words against our sins and miseries. And as we face them in our obedience to him, it's going to be obedience to life because of his obedience to death. We look laughing on that future as we suffer in the present, and we tell everything around us, no matter how big, no matter how hard, it is finished indeed. In his name, Father, amen. hymn, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Let us stand and sing it. Oh, I'm sorry, there's the prayer. Yes.